You going?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it's going.
Just hit. Just start over.
It hasn't hit radio yet.
We're back.
Round two.
You guys don't know this, but take two. James is still eating protein.
Yeah.
Just like while take
chicken.
One.
Yeah, so Teddy put in the wrong card in the podcast player, which has like 20 minutes left. I mean, thank goodness for Hayden.
We literally talked.
Good catch, Hayden.
Gavin on, like nothing was going on.
We talked for 45 minutes.
No.
46 minutes.
Yeah, it was 47.
None of it was captured.
Some of it was captured, just very little. Because we started. But we have three special guests here. We're recording this on April 10th after team quarterfinals cross. So we have three special guests, and we're going to have them introduce themselves and tell a little bit of their background. They have practice at this, so they should be really concise.
They should know exactly what to say.
We're going
to
start with McKenna.
Hi, guys. My name is McKenna, and let's see. Sports background. I played volleyball, basketball, and soccer in high school, and then I played volleyball in college. I found CrossFit because I wanted kind of like an outlet from volleyball and the stress of college volleyball, and found a really awesome CrossFit like family community, which was awesome to have. And I did that starting in like July of 2020, so right kind of when the world shut down, I guess. And then moved to St. Louis and joined Blue City about like a little less than 2 years ago, coming on 2 years in August, which has been super, super awesome.
All right, Amara, you're up next.
My name's Amara. I grew up playing a bunch of different sports and then played softball in college. And when my senior year of softball was canceled, I watched a CrossFit documentary. I think it was Fittest on Earth at one of my teammates' house. And I was like, I like this, so I want to try it. And I've been doing it for, I guess, like 4 years now. And I've just slowly been to a couple different gyms. And then now I'm at Blue City.
What's your first concert?
I think mine was actually Hannah Montana.
Oh, classic.
So lucky. I never knew that. I'm jealous.
Matt is giving me an eye roll. I got the big eye roll.
Hannah Montana is awesome.
She was awesome.
In concert?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. She was good. Don't sleep on Hannah.
You get the best of both worlds.
She was really good.
You get the best of both worlds.
Nobody is perfect.
Everybody makes mistakes.
Everybody has those things.
Everybody knows what I'm talking about.
McKenna.
What?
You forgot first concert.
My first concert. So it was Alan Jackson concert. I was 13. My sister's birthday present for my parents was to go see him. And it was a great first concert, although like because I was little, like I couldn't really take like the loudness of it. So me and my dad had to go outside and listen to it from afar. I feel bad for him.
All right, our third guest, we have Hayden.
My name is Hayden Weddle. I'm also known as McKenna's boyfriend.
Handsome Hayden.
Handsome Hayden. Handsome Hayden to the gentleman at 1P. My athletic background, I played a year of college football and then started CrossFit in 2018 and done it since then with a few breaks in between.
Hayden's qualified for the games on a team?
Yep. I did. I was on CrossFit Believe, CrossFit Games team last year. Somebody would probably recognize us from my teammate Josh, who smashed his face before we got to compete. So we got all the cool games gear, and that's it. But
road to redemption.
Yeah, we're trying to get redeemed, but it's not working out too well yet.
It's a difficult task.
It's a difficult task to do that. First concert.
I think I was kind of went to a concert that was Trace Adkins.
Ooh.
It was kind of weird. I don't feel like it was really a concert.
Was it like a fair?
It was in Branson.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, right. It was kind of weird.
Was it on the roadside or what the heck are you talking about?
It was like in a little theater, but I don't know. It just didn't feel like a concert.
drive it.
I would say I've never been to a concert. That's what
you never have
what?
Been?
Wait, what? Wait,
McKenna, what's going on here?
It hasn't been summer yet, and Izzy has lots of plans.
Sure. Izzy's got all the plans. Yeah,
that's insane. Yeah. That is insane.
Long concerts lined up.
While he's in jail, apparently.
Wait, really?
That's what someone told me at the gym today. He got arrested.
Morgan Wallen got arrested on Sunday evening. Waylon.
That's crazy.
He got arrested on Sunday evening for, again, he's back on the booze.
Yeah.
He's drunk again, belligerent, and threw a chair off a rooftop in Nashville.
Izzy cried for 3 days.
She still had tears in her eyes at the gym today.
I sent her the article on Monday. I'm like, this idiot again. And I sent it to her, and she just smiled back.
So. Matt, mine was Green Day, so does that, I feel like that's right up your alley, right?
Absolutely.
I was in seventh grade, and it was for a friend's, it was right after American Idiot came out.
Yeah.
That was a terrible sound, but American Idiot came out, and they were just like, we were in seventh grade. My friend's dad got a box and took a bunch of seventh grade boys. Yeah. And they were just like, the whole time, they're like, F this, F that. And then afterwards, they're like, so guys, just when your parents take you something, is there normally that many F words? And we're like, no. But so that was my first concert experience. It was pretty fun. But yeah. So felt like that was the theme of the podcast. Should we get everybody else's?
What was your first concert, Matt?
We've already done this. We're not going to be redundant. We went through us. We got to do it on new guests.
I don't remember. I don't remember. I guess Neil McCord was probably my first concert.
I tell you, mine was Metallica.
That was at the Peoria County Fair.
Who was it?
Neil McCoy. The country
even,
singer.
I don't even know who
he only has like two or three.
Was it a roadside concert? Like what?
It kind of was. It's literally.
Like you just drive past somebody and you're like, I think he's playing the guitar. No, that's the homeless guy.
No, Peoria County Fairgrounds are like, they back up to one of the public high schools. And so it's literally in the football stands.
Yeah.
Brady Welch from the gym. Brady Welch.
Yeah.
He saw like Luke Bryan before he was big at PCB in the Walmart parking lot.
Oh my god. Wow. I saw Akon and Lady Gaga.
No way.
In a Chicago like basement bar before they were big.
That's cool.
Nice.
Didn't know. I mean,
I saw
Taylor Swift.
Was
bigger
when she opened for Rascal Flatts.
I've seen Dave Matthews.
She was still huge. At that
25
point.
Times.
Yeah, she was. Love Story just came out, so half the people.
You saw
were
what?
There to see
I've seen Dave Matthews Band 25 times in concert.
Yeah, that's massive concert. So it's 60,000 people.
Yeah. I know. Right, just so anyway. Times. First order of business is what, Matt? It's breaking news.
Breaking news. Colton Mertens winning you some money.
I think we should replay the clip. For the audience.
All right, you can replay the clip.
And then we will. So, Colton, here we go. Let's see.
On tomorrow?
Yes.
Why? Max L. Hag over at the training think tub. Those guys, they're an abomination to the sport. Max L. Hag is an absolute menace. They have their own podcast, the Corpus Anus podcast. And I hear them say the most ridiculous things, like the Jake German is the best in the burpees at CrossFit. I just can't believe he was hit. Me next to him in a burpee workout, I would end this man's life. They should pray that he never has that fate. Max L. Hag.
So first of all, Corpus Animus is the name of their podcast. And so there's been a lot of talk between that training thing Jake has been putting out there that their own athlete, Jake Berman, is the best burpeer in CrossFit, and Colton is just, egregiously offended by this, and he's been calling out, talking trash that he is the best burpee in CrossFit. And so today, for like $1,000 on the Barbell Spins YouTube channel, they did a live workout, 100 bar facing burpees for time, and Colton Mertens backed up all of his trash talk, confirmed he's the best burpeer in all of CrossFit with a score of 3 minutes and 19 seconds for 100 bar facing burpees to Jake Berman's also impressive 3 yes. minutes and 40 seconds.
Very impressive.
And so we just wanted to give a shout out to a friend of the show, Colton, for defending that. He should get a USC belt, but for burpees.
A gold star.
Yeah, and
a
so
cold star. Yeah.
We just wanted to touch upon that.
He should
breaking
like when
news.
They win the games and they put, the stars above their whatever. He can have a gold star mm-hmm. for burpees. Perfect.
The only thing I got out of that was training think tub.
So good. So good.
I love it.
But we want to focus the rest of this time on the team quarterfinals that just went down.
Yep. Team quarterfinals came out. We'll go through all four.
Did we explicitly say, sorry, to talk so much?
Can we check to see if we're still recording?
Okay. Did we explicitly? If we didn't explicitly say it, we might have. But all three of our guests were a part of the team quarterfinals team.
Yeah. Yes. I don't know if we explicitly.
We're missing one. We're missing Justin.
We get all fuzzy because this is our second time recording.
Yes.
Workout one was male, female. Oh my god, I'm a dick.
It wasn't any better round two.
Male, female pairs, alternating pairs every 2 minutes and 5 rounds. 10 synchro lateral burpees over the bar, 10 synchro front squats, 125, 185, and then the remaining time, it's max muscle ups on the rings. Number two was 50, 30, 20 reps for time, alternating dumbbell snatches, four-person synchro, so everybody synchroed up, and then toes to bar, pairs of two synchronized, and again, they're doing 50, 30, 20 each set of two. They're doing all the reps, and then that was 50 and 70 pound dumbbell, 20 minute time cap. Workout three was male male and female female pairs for time. It was males went first, 500 meter row, 50 handstand push-ups, and then 50 synchro wall balls. And then after both groups went, then you did it in reverse, 50 synchro wall ball shots, 50 handstand push-ups, and then 500 meter row. That was a 14-pound wall ball to a 9-foot target and a 20-pound wall ball to a 10-foot target. Time cap was 25 minutes. And then that fourth workout was female-female and male-male pairs, as many rounds or reps as possible in 15 minutes. And it was 30 deadlifts girls, 30 deadlifts guys, 30 shoulder overhead girls, 30 shoulder overhead guys, 205 deadlift, 125 for the girls, and then 315, 185 for the guys.
That was a good rundown. Very fast, concise. Good job, James. You might gain your role of producer back again. We'll see.
We're trying.
He got kicked off it before because he forgot his computer tonight. And
one time he forgot it.
I know, the one time.
Okay, so
okay, let's go through these. Well, can I just give like kind of overall thoughts? So we talked about previous years they've always had five scores. There might be four workouts, but ones were two scores. And this year they just did four workouts. You had some do on Wednesday, or sorry, they released them on Wednesday at 2 o'clock our time. You had some two do on Saturday at 7 p.m., two do on Monday at 7 p.m. They definitely, this year, which they've talked about, made it more affiliate friendly. So we didn't have to travel to find a 15-foot rope, which is super convenient. That's always a pain in the butt for us. They didn't do GHD sit-ups, which we have two GHDs that are fine that way. But a lot of gyms don't have nice ones, or they have one. So trying to do two for a team can be challenging too. So they definitely made it more affiliate friendly this year, which I know they were doing that for the individuals.
I was just going to say, speaking of the news they were talking about before we hit record, like imagine if they had done 15 foot ropes. It's like if we didn't have them, we couldn't go somewhere else to record them, right?
Yeah, we could have, I think.
Yeah.
What was it?
You're talking about the rule?
The rule, yeah.
The rule is just for the open.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Excuse me. Disregard.
It's okay. So they were trying to make it more affiliate-friendly this year because for the individuals, the top 25% make it instead of the top 10, so you're going to have way more athletes. Potentially, you can. The thing that the team was still 25%, and I don't necessarily know if I liked how simple. I mean, these were actually, I think, pretty good workouts, but I don't know if I liked how simple they made these workouts because it was still top 25% like it has been every other year. And I do wish that there was a little bit more five scores or a little bit more just like better floor plan skill. When you're showing handstand walking, all those kind of things that you're going to see in semifinals, so you'd like to see some of those progressions. Like the open was very basic, now we made quarterfinals very basic, and then all of a sudden you're going to have high skill, high rep, high heavy barbells in semifinals. Like there was no progression, and I think since you still have the top 25% teams that you've had every other year, I think they should have been a little bit different.
I don't want to go down a negativity CrossFit rabbit hole, but yeah, the way that they made them, you know, they put the rules out. Normally they put out a floor plan. So it's like, hey, you have to tape this. You have to show this. This is where you actually have to put the camera angle. This is the one that we want. If you don't, you're going to get penalized. And they said it was going to be your typical CrossFit gym setup. That's how we knew that there wasn't going to be a rope or GHDs mm-hmm. or, you know, you look at, you can go to Rogue and be like, hey, typical CrossFit setup, I want to buy everything I need. It's a kettlebell, it's a dumbbell, it's weights.
It's a box.
It's mm-hmm. a box, it's rings, it's a wall ball. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's
barbell and plates.
And a rower.
So yeah, rower. Don't forget the rowers.
You know, when some people are like, oh, 100-pound dumbbell. That's not standard equipment. Or like a skier or a bike or, you know, some other things that are like that.
Even like a bench. You're not going to have bench press.
Probably not bench. They could have.
It's an add-on.
But yeah.
It's an add-on, yeah.
So they, by doing that, they kind of open themselves up for controversy. Because you can do a lot of tricky stuff with camera angles. Mm-hmm. Now, Teddy knows that. You know, they didn't give any guidance on that stuff. So I know that I'm just looking at these teams. There is ridiculous reps being counted on this leaderboard that yeah. shouldn't be. And they're not going to be knocked off there because of how they did that. So my question is, how can you advance a team forward with just 4 scores and not having a registered judge?
Yeah.
To go to semifinals with such a simplistic format.
So, and it seems like more than not, CrossFit is literally just looking at one workout.
Yep.
Like the leaderboard is. And the leaderboard shifted a ton on that one workout. Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't you?
So logic would tell you that if they looked at every video, that it would shift a lot on every workout. And it was only shifted on the first one.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's, you know, again, I don't want to go down that negative rabbit hole, but they did open themselves up for that. And you know, it's a shame because you want it to be as fair as possible. I mean, we're on the outside looking in, so it sounds like we're just being sore losers, but you know, there's a lot of different things that could have went our way.
Can we get some general
look at all videos?
Can we get some general thoughts from
yeah.
Amara starting first? Do you think?
Or yeah, well, I'm just one more thought here really fast on so us mentioning that the first workout there was a lot of movement and like our team Fringe that Morgan and Colin were on. Well, Morgan's on, but they're from, or they used to be in St. Louis. They moved up like, I think, 8 spots on one workout. And it with only 62 teams, like that's what, I mean, 15-20% of the spots there. And that's just on one workout. And so the frustrating thing, and it actually behooved Fringe really well because they moved from a non-qualifying spot to a qualifying spot.
Behooved.
But the frustrating thing for all those teams and that got pushed out of a qualifying spot, if you only look at one workout, that's not really fair to them. You're not giving them the fair chance. Like what? And I know how well Morgan moves, so I'm not saying this. But what if Fringe moved really poorly on the other 3 workouts and they just did well on that one? And what if that bumps them out and puts another team in? And that's where it becomes frustrating. Not even for us. Like obviously we want to get in to the top 30, but the frustrating thing is all those teams that got knocked out don't necessarily get the opportunity to, like, quote unquote, rebuttal or, you know, be like, well, our other 3 scores were good and this team's 3 scores weren't. So let's flip, you know, we should be flip flopped with them. And that's where it gets frustrating. But sorry.
No, I was just going to say, let's hear from the guests. And Amara, what were your general thoughts? You can take it however you want. It was your first experience doing it.
Yeah, it was my first experience. So I learned a lot. I have to get better, I learned, which you always learn that. And yeah, that is really frustrating when Morgan was telling me about the 3 scores that just kind of automatically get validated. But on the flip side, I think, like, as the competitor mindset, you have to get to where you're like, okay, I'm going to be so good at everything that you don't even have to flirt with that cut line.
100%.
And I think that's like, because at the end of the day, it's not in your control. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. it's annoying, but it's not really in your control what they're doing. Even though that is frustrating because you put in so much effort, you know, you like work full time and you do all these other things in the gym and then, you know, you don't feel like it's your fair shot. But I mean, yeah, it's not like super controllable. So
McKenna, any thoughts?
Yeah, basically very similar to Amara. Again, like this is like my first rodeo as well. And I agree, like I would rather just be undeniable, yeah. You know, and I get that, like there are different things that are going to come with different experiences. We learn a lot, like you have weaknesses, everybody has weaknesses, but just getting to a point where you can walk into quarterfinals, even having, you know, even on a team and just be like, yep, like we're making it, you know, mm-hmm. we all like, we don't have as, you know, just more well-rounded, and I think that would have helped us a lot too.
Yeah. I think with that being said, like one of the benefits of us to an extent is we've been through this so many times mm-hmm. at this point, so like we have some of that knowledge, like
yeah.
even before, like after the open, we started talking about like making sure your reps are good, pausing for an extra second at the top, like doing all those kind of things to make things look good on videos. And so we kind of like try to like beat that into you guys a little bit, just because like those video penalties just hurt so bad. But I think, yes, that's definitely a good point, is that you should just walk away from the workout knowing you did it right. That's mm-hmm. makes your life a little easier for sure.
Yeah. Hayden, what do you got? Any parting thoughts on that?
No, not really. I mean, I think, I don't know. I felt good about our reps. We did it good.
Yeah.
Did the best we could. I walked back some of our videos, and I mean, we just did the best we could, did all we could, and it's just up to God at this point, you know.
Hayden deserves a shout out for, as he quoted, having a psychedelic experience on the Ring Muscle Up workout. He carried this pair, so he deserves a shout out for that.
Can we hear more about that?
I absolutely died on the first workout, the Ring Muscle Ups. The plan was to try to keep up with McKenna and Justin. That was a bad plan. I started with 15 ring muscle ups by myself. Not ideal. I did a set of 10, broke, and then finished with a set of 5. And it was all downhill from there. Very fast.
Did you know during only the rest that you know, that you have 2 minutes of rest because of other pair goes. Did you know during that rest after doing the 15 that trouble was coming?
Yeah. Yeah. Before the workout started, I pulled myself a bench over because I knew I was going to be sitting on that bench. And after the first set of 15, I sat down and I thought, oh no, this is not good. Then we got like, after the second round, I think I was bent over the chalk, getting chalk after like my, after me and Amara's 2 minutes, and Taylor was saying something, and I was just like, all right, just tell me what to do.
I didn't really realize how bad it was until I watched the video back to see when I almost died, and when I flew out of the rings and almost face planted. I looked over at Hayden, and he had no idea that I had like
almost died.
He didn't care.
He did not know. He was so out of it. And I was like, did you, I sent him the video. I was like, did you know that last night I like fell through the rings? And he was like, I think so. I was like, oh, he must have been down.
Yeah. After round 4, I was watching the floor, and I got up and walked over to the bar like 45 seconds before we went. I was just looking at the ground, and it was literally moving. I was like, I don't know if I can do this last one. It was moving. It was literally moving.
Oh, dear.
I'm not being dramatic. It was moving.
Matt and Taylor, I was talking to Hayden about this, and I was like, that just reminds me of the team in 2021 practicing for the West Coast 30 burpees, 30 worm squats, gosh. And Steve.
Oh, my gosh. That was a riot. So, yeah, it was, what, 3 rounds of 30 burpees, 30 front squats, and
With the worm,
yeah. And we were practicing at first, and Steve, I don't know, we had said something, like, can you take more of the worm? Because he was, like, just at the very edge of the worm. So he literally, like, the worm's in 4 sections, and he was literally on the section between him and Mara. So he had the whole 100 pounds.
He had it down below his, like, belt
line. Yeah. Had the whole sandbag. And so, like, the 3 days, Chris, Mara, and I felt great, and freaking poor Steve was dying. And he was pulling some grief burpees for sure at the end of it. It was 100%. Pretty entertaining.
Yeah, and so that was, and I mean, he had like legit PTSD, he said, and like, I'm like, Hayden, this reminds me of that.
Yeah, that was one of those moments for sure.
It worked out well when we got to the West Coast.
It did work out well at the West Coast.
Good thing about that, though, because doing something like that in a workout, it's like a rubber band. When you stretch it, it can never return back to its original form. So no, doing something ridiculous like that, going out and doing 10, doing another 5, where you're like, oh no, if we would have redone that, what were we going to do? Like
two sets of five, or
six and five, maybe, so 11. Yeah. So, I mean, you kind of stretch your ability and your mind to believe you could do certain things, but then you also, it's a learning experience for next time on what not to do or what to do, you know, a better mm-hmm. plan. So you learn something from that. It's just unfortunate that, you know, it's, listen, how many years ago did you start CrossFit, Amara?
Four.
So we were expecting her to do 5 or 6 muscle-ups each round, which is, which, you know, from you just starting 4 years ago and where you came to the gym, Blue City, a year and a half ago,
yeah,
where you were, like leaps and bounds of an athlete, of your growth potential and what you've shown. But to put that kind of pressure on you is kind of unfair for us. I mean, it was like a crisscross, like hopefully she can. But
she got two.
Yeah. She got three.
She got three.
She contributed. But yeah, but we need, it's essentially, we were playing a man down. It's like we got a penalty, basically. We had a person on the penalty box in the first workout. So it's tough. That's that. Looking at the leaderboard, that's the only reason why we, you screwed us up. No, we went into this knowing. No,
it's a team effort. It's true. It's okay. It's not true. The fittest human being I've ever experienced in my life.
That is not. So the point of that is like you come leaps and bounds. We knew what we were getting into. This was the best case scenario. What happens if they redid that workout and it was like, hey, you have to go in male and female orders? We wouldn't have any, we wouldn't have any scores on the leaderboard. So this was the best case scenario. It's just tough. You know, they're going to find a way to penalize the teams if you don't have all your athletes on the kind of the same page. So we just got caught.
Well,
we just got caught in that.
And like I was talking to Amar about this too, because I know you're like annoyed with the muscle ups and all that kind of stuff. But it's not just the muscle ups. It's, you know, and I don't mean this in any way negative to anyone, because I think the team put together a really, really good weekend. And like Hayden said earlier, they did the like best that they could possibly do. But it's, you know, the Tota bar for you. Mm-hmm. It's Hayden going out 15 on the first round and not being able to hold numbers. And it's, you know, Justin coming down early on the handstand pushups. Or, you know, not staying up there. It's like all these little things that it's not just like that workout. Obviously the score looks the worst and it is the worst, but if you were only 12 points out, so you get 3 places on each workout, right? That gets you in there. It's not just you have to get 12 places better on the muscle ups.
Yeah.
And that's what I think, like, you know, I'm trying to get you to realize, like, it's not just you. Like, there's every, you know, everyone had their strengths and weaknesses this weekend, and that's an overall team, and that's why this is a team thing. Like, that's, you know, how you get you advance further in the season, and I think that's something that, you know, our team definitely, you can see that in, and I don't like people saying like it's just that workout, but you can see that on every team. And I, like, I'm gonna say Matt Pratt, who used to go to our gym, I looked at their team and their like last workout, their strength workout, which was a shoulder overhead and deadlifts, they did very poorly on that workout compared to the rest of their scores. And you can't just be like, oh, well, if we would have done better on that workout, right? You could have done better on every workout. And so things like that, that people don't, you know, it's a team, it's a whole picture. And like Matt said, they're going to expose your weaknesses. And it may be one workout, or it may be everyone gets a weakness in one workout.
It just sucks because ring muscle-ups probably won't play a huge part now in semifinals. They might show up, but they're not going to show up a huge part. And we would be set up perfectly for that.
Yeah.
Like last year's workouts.
Last year's workouts would have been a lot better. Yeah. A lot better.
Whatever. I was just going to say, sorry, I'm dragging the microphone. We kind of got Hayden's hardest part. We kind of got Amara's hardest part. McKenna, what was your hardest part?
The toes to bar. Mm-hmm. The toes to bar. I truly, you know, forget sometimes that I really need to work on toes to bar.
I don't feel like it was your toes to bar. I feel like it was the snatch factoring into the toes to bar.
I would definitely say so, because it was the snatch felt definitely heavy and I wasn't able to hold on to the bar as much.
Well, look at, so I look at, I asked this of Taylor the other day. Where are they? Oh, I gotta look. They keep moving up. So CrossFit Fringe. So that workout, they finished in 11:20, right?
The total bar, yeah.
And I'm like, how the heck did they almost beat us by a minute? And what did you respond with? How did they do it?
I said they did 10s on the dumbbell snatches and 5 on the toto bar from the beginning.
The whole way, from the beginning, for the whole way. So 10, I mean, that might have been it where, you know, if the dumbbell, you're like, oh, you know, 20 reps, not that big a deal. But it is at the end of the workout. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like him on the muscle-ups. The damage is already done, right? The floor is already moving, so you can't get it to stop. The only reason we're going to get to stop is to wait for half an hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah, you were felt like terrible after the workout.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I think this one too, because we ended up redoing that workout and we got like 7 seconds faster.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, that's one thing. Hold that thought. That's one thing about these workouts and those time frames. If they're giving you a little bit of leeway where you can redo it, but it's kind of like a sucker bet. Mm-hmm. Like it's, if you take that bait and do that, you're going to do poorly in another workout or in your redo because you've got to do it in such short period of time. Mm-hmm. That's why it's so important. I say this 1,000 times, you probably get tired of hearing about it, but you have to go in with the mindset that this is one and done and it's your absolute best effort.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because if you, again, your abs are sore or you didn't sleep well or you're worried about it or half, you know, what happens is you start to snatches again. You're like, oh no, this pain again. I don't want to go through this. And you got 10 more minutes of a workout to go.
Yeah. So, and well, my point to that too was kind of the same thing. These workouts, how they release them, the first two were very gymnastics, lat heavy. And those are the first two that were due. And so if you could have flip-flop the order on some of these, if you could have done like and we have issues too, we don't work out full-time, so everyone here works full-time. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely one of those things too. We have certain times that we can do these workouts. We're not like an Invictus where they can redo them, you know, twice because they literally all they do is work out. Mm-hmm. So one of those things that how CrossFit set up these workouts, it really did punish you to try to redo one of the pulling workouts because that it's a lot of strength and you're going full out. And you know, Justin made the comment of like after the first day, oh, there's only one workout, and I'm like, we only did one workout today, and I'm like, yeah, but like the intensity, the adrenaline, and like all those things. And then you know, come like Saturday when we redid that workout, he's like, oh my gosh, like I was dying, it was so much worse, blah 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 blah. It's like, yeah, even though you've only done two workouts the past 2 days, it's literally just the intensity, the adrenaline, everything that goes into it. You don't realize how much that takes out of you.
The intensity is like so different just from as a person who's watched you guys do so many workouts, like at the gym and then at the competition.
Yeah.
Like the whole environment, whatever. Basically, I'm just reiterating what you said.
Yeah, it's, and you know, you think about it all day and you get nervous and you're, you know, it's just all this build
up. Justin wanted to do like two workouts in a night. And then he also, like, the next day, he was like, maybe I'm going to do a little bit of workout. And I go, no. What? He was going to do, like, something else. Like,
yeah. Yeah. So I was just like, awesome. It was the snatch one. He goes, he showed up, and we were just kind of talking. He was like, yeah, we could just, it's only going to be probably, like, 11-ish minutes. And he's like, I don't know how you guys feel, but we could probably just, like, knock this one out, take a little 25-minute break, and then try to redo that one so we have enough time if you want.
This is at 7 p.m.
Yeah, like, not, no, Justin.
He was took all, pre-workout.
All amped up. He was chewing his face off, looking at him. And like he's all hyped up. He's like, he couldn't even sit still. He was like, he was a boxer in a corner talking to me. I'm like, that's a terrible idea. Like, oh, yeah, okay, maybe. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, there was one weekend we had, you guys were gone, but you gave us team workouts. And you were standing there and he was just like, could not stop talking to us and like kept walking and like couldn't look at us, and we were like, are you okay?
He doesn't take pre-workout ever unless it's a competition, and I'm like, that is the opposite of what you want to do.
Exactly.
I'm just saying I relate to this, Justin.
Yeah, Teddy's, you don't like have this, to take pre-workout. This is Teddy's daily life.
Oh man. So yeah, I mean, let's keep going on the workout. So the toto bar was the second one. We did that Thursday night and then redid it Saturday. Try to switch up our plan a little bit. Like I said, these, how they program these workouts, they just compounded so quickly. In that redo, I mean, even I know Hayden, you said it was worse the second time around too. So I think it was one of those workouts that, you know, we kind of had probably a little bit of a plan to fail on the first round or the first time around, and definitely a learning lesson. And it was, for me, it's good to see friends that they did 10, 5, the whole time, and they were faster, like almost a minute faster. And that's definitely like, you don't always have to do big sets to be faster. So it's definitely a good
Sometimes you do. And certain level of athletes do. But if you've got to manage your team, you're only as strong as your weakest athlete. Mm-hmm. So you have to play to that. You know, unfortunately, everybody's got to play to that character. But that's the joy of having a team, is everybody leans on each other. And if you break that athlete, you're in trouble. So you can't go step over that line, or else you guys are going to have a terrible time. So I think we managed everything pretty darn well, except for the out-of-body experience that Hayden was having. Yeah.
Well, and like, so going now, reversing that and switching to the next workout, the row handstand push-up wall ball, that was one where you needed to do bigger sets or go unbroken on the wall balls.
Yep.
And so that one was one where you had to kind of shift the mindset and be like, okay. And like, I know the guys, you guys are very happy about the wall balls. And then like for you guys, I was like, you have to do, like, you can only break one on the first round. The second round, when you start with the wall balls and you're going straight into handstand push-ups, we're going to change our strategy, but you got like 4 to 5 minutes of rest after the wall balls. And so you guys need to make sure that you push those wall balls and try to do them as big a sets as you can. And then, you know, let's strategize a little bit differently on the second set of wall balls. But, you know, there's definitely, that was a time and place where you do bigger or you go unbroken.
Yeah, for sure.
So just, yes, every workout. But like my point on that for second one was you can do it differently, smaller sets, and be successful as long as they're quick.
It was really fun. How was your guys' take on after? So wait, we did the first workout we did on Saturday, because we did two.
Yep, they did it like 10:30.
So to Justin's idea, the better idea to do two workouts in a day was to do one at 10:30 and then one at like 5 or 6. So the second one we did was the handstand push-up. Right? Mm-hmm. How did you guys feel after that? Because I thought after that, that was like, if we could have moved like that and the first two workouts, holy cow. That was awesome to see.
I was pumped up.
Yeah.
I was pretty pumped up.
The whole gym was. Everybody that came to watch. Mm-hmm. What was your feeling on that?
Yeah, that one felt good. That one felt good. We just, I don't know, like I felt like me and Amara was really awesome, like with the wall balls. I have long legs, and so it was cool that we were like able to sync up. I honestly struggle with wall balls sometimes too, so for that to run smoothly, and I just felt like we didn't rest much, like, mm-hmm. and just like Amara, like when I fell off the wall after one handstand push up the first time I got on, like it was like quick to transition. So I just felt like we like really worked well as like a team, and that felt really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys, I mean, both of you guys had pretty smooth transitions. And you kept moving the needle the whole time. Like there was never a point where I was like, what are you guys doing? Like, why aren't you moving? Mm-hmm. So that was really good to see. And the same with the guys, you guys just kept moving steadily through everything. We tested this workout on Wednesday, Thursday. I don't know. James and I did with Izzy. And when we got to that second row, I was just like, I was happy Izzy was rowing slower than me, but I knew both of you guys, like all of you guys would have to sell out way harder than we did. Like if I'm, and this is, goes back to Teddy, like the intensity factor. Yeah. If I'm doing that in class, like finishing with that, I might row like a 150 pace, you know? And I rode like a 146 pace on that, just pushed a little harder. But if I'm doing that solely to finish a workout for a score, like I'm rowing a 140, mm-hmm. you know? And that's like, you guys, just the intensity has to be so much higher than that. And I was happy that I didn't have to be in that, because I knew how it would feel at the end of it. So,
yeah, me and McKenna before, we were like, okay, we're going to race at the end. Like,
that's what you got to do.
You beat me and I beat you. And I was like trying to beat her the whole time.
She was looking over. I was like, I know she's looking around. I was like, I cannot even take the energy to move my head, because I know if I do, I'm losing this thing.
And I think like for you and Justin, it was, Hayden, it was exciting to like finish on a row. Justin was slower, but still you were like, got on that row and you could feel your adrenaline going for sure.
Yeah, that was a fun one. Justin did. He rode like a 134, I think, which, it was good. He was pushing it.
For him, that's like, mm-hmm. that's all he could do. Like yeah, he did make the comment. He's like, I kept like my stroke rate was going up and like, I just stayed the same. He's like, I couldn't pull any harder.
Yeah. He's talking about wanting to go faster. He's like, I think I can go faster. I'm pulling faster, but it's not going any faster the whole time.
But I mean, you rode like a 123 or something to finish it off.
Yeah. So. Around like a 124.
Yeah.
Just cruising.
Oh, okay. You were on the floor after that.
Not quite.
Not quite as bad as a Thursday, Wednesday, whatever day. But
no, that was a fun one to end with.
Yeah. And then the last one, that was like, we knew that this could be a good workout, but also you just, my biggest worry was like the girls with the shoulder to overhead, just because that weight adds up. But you guys both handled the barbell like a boss. And then I loved watching Hayden and Justin. You decided after the first round to just try two sets the rest of the time. And you two both are very efficient with shoulder to overhead. You can push press it basically. And that was like really cool to see, make that decision on the fly and save a transition. And it was, the last two workouts, not that I wasn't excited after the first two, but the last two, I was like, gosh, like this is why we do this. Like, this is so much fun. Like, I love being in those moments and seeing you guys succeed and seeing like how hyped up the entire gym is. And it's so loud. We had a ton of people. You guys did that workout at 7 p.m. on Sunday, and there was probably like 15 people there just to cheer for you. And like, that's what makes this so much fun.
Did you see Steve after the workout?
Did any of you guys?
Yeah, you probably didn't even realize.
I remember seeing him, like, I turned around and he was hyped up.
He was so hyped up.
He was like, that is awesome. You like gave him motivation.
Yeah.
Because he, you know, he kind of struggles with, you know, not competing right now. Mm-hmm. And he was so jazzed up. I haven't seen him jazzed up like that a lot. He's like, this is why we do this. This is awesome.
Yeah.
And you guys did, that was your best score. That was your, that's 21st. Mm-hmm. And I'm shocked at, it's not higher than that, because you guys were flying. I don't really see how we could have rotated. You guys did, to your abilities, the switching, the numbers, the transitions was pretty much perfect. One little snafu at the end, but I think that netted you actually some additional reps by doing that.
Amara ripped out 20 deadlifts. I don't even know what happened there. I was like, holy cow.
We thought,
Matt told me to. Yeah.
I don't know, it's great.
It was coming up on 14 minutes. Somehow, I don't know who got wires crossed, me, somebody else, I don't know. But we were like, just don't put it down, don't switch out because you have time, so just keep going. She did 20, and then I think you even did one after the 14 second mark.
Yeah, because I was like, sure. I
stopped counting at like 18 or 19 because you said time, and then we still had a minute left, and so then in like, it's just like, go. And then it kind of picks up the barbell, but I'm like, I don't know what number, because I knew you did like two extra reps, and I was like, I'm hoping she's actually at 20, and I think you did like 7, and then you doing like 4, because I was like, I just want an extra rep just to be safe.
Kudos to you though, you picked, I mean, get picked up the barbell and started going, so it was,
but it got a little chaotic. That even like hyped the gym up even more.
That's even better. Chaos.
I know.
But that got the guy, I mean,
yeah,
I mean, the guys did better too on that. They got 22 of their 30 deadlifts after that too. That was crazy.
It was awesome. It was a lot of fun to watch.
Good times.
And that's, I mean, I know you guys all expressed this to all the gym members. And I like, you know, made sure to like thank everyone for being there. But I think that's the coolest thing about our community is it doesn't matter if you're like a games level athlete or you're just beginning CrossFit. We had so many different people show up to every single workout. It wasn't just the same crew the whole weekend, and they got behind you guys for every single workout. And I know, you know, people always, like, our gym is a little bit different. It's a little more competitive. We have some competitor classes and things like that. But it really just goes to show that it doesn't really matter what level you are at the gym. Like, everyone is there for everyone. Everyone's there to support everyone. And I think that was a really cool thing to see this weekend. And just be reminded of, because sometimes we get lost in the slug of all of this and it can get frustrating. And I just came away from the weekend like my heart so full and happy and proud to be a part of Blue City. So it's cool.
Amen.
Yeah. Yep. Hold on.
That was clapping for those of you that don't have headphones on.
Pause for claps. And that's, you know, one of the things that the beauty of CrossFit, you know, Teddy, you mentioned, well, Amara, you watched the CrossFit documentary, got into it. Teddy, you mentioned on our first out of the podcast that, you know, your initial thing, you're like, I just have to do CrossFit 3 times a week for 3 months and then I'm going to be done. And then you watch a video of a documentary and you get behind it. And I don't mean this rudely, Teddy, but like, you're not a games level athlete and you're still like hyped up about everything that we're talking about too. And I think, you know, people get afraid of you have to be a games level athlete to be able to do CrossFit, and that's like the farthest thing from the truth. And people can work out, even in our competitors classes, you don't have to have a pull up to be able to do anything, or you can be doing, you know, 10 ring muscle ups in a row, and everyone's on an equal playing field there. We're all just happy that everyone's there to work out and to get better.
Yes, I would reiterate that, and I would piggyback onto it too, especially with the, you guys all now as like team quarterfinals athletes. Like, you've been that at the gym, that like, for whatever reason, not to anybody, but just to all competitive CrossFit athletes, the MO of like a casual class member is like, oh, they're so intimidating and scary, and like, I don't want to, like, they're not going to talk to me. And so I think the coolest part about Blue City too is how all night, I mean, I feel silly to say, but how nice you guys all are to the average athletes, and encouraging and helpful, and like coaching them out. Just, I mean, even with like my dad, like, takes it to like another like level. And so it's just, it's a important role that you guys all play at the gym.
Yeah.
So that, true. Agreed. But Vito, who's kind of flirting with both sides of it also.
Yeah.
One time we came in, we had to go somewhere, so we didn't do the 10:30 class. Yeah. We hopped into the 9:15, and we come in, and Vito's like, oh man, what's all the big kids being? Why are all the big kids here in the class right now? Like,
I was because it was alternating rowing and running, and so I was running with, it was pairs of two, I was running with him every time, and we like take off on one run, and he's like, quit running so fast. He's like, I don't want to have to work this hard. And I'm like, sorry, sir, like, I'm gonna race you.
Dito's so funny.
He normally just like destroys the classrooms.
Oh yeah, he's very, very fit. But yeah, if there's like a running workout, he just destroys it, and we could all play with him, and he wasn't very happy about it. I mean, jokingly, I hope.
Oh no, yeah, he's like, the other day, like, we were doing like 30-pound wall balls, and it was like just destroying him, and he was just like sitting there like laughing, and like, and then everybody started laughing.
We should like comment Vito's 5'8".
Yeah,
and maybe he weighs less than me, I'd say.
Soaking.
He wet. Maybe weighs 150 pounds.
Maybe.
Yeah. Very fit.
He's taking a beating here.
Sorry, yeah, I love Vito so much.
I know. Just it was cool.
So I want to end with this. Why don't we end with like parting thoughts on the season, and then kind of what you're looking forward to.
McKenna, you're up.
You were ready. You were. Amara was ready. She's going.
Okay. I'll go. I think it's definitely deflating to not make it, especially because, like you guys said, the last two workouts were just like, so I felt fun. Like I could like feel the energy. Like, it was like, as a competitor and an athlete, it's so fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like you said, it's what you kind of do it for. I mean, that's like the only reason I do CrossFit is to compete. I mean, yeah. Honestly. So, but yeah, you learn a lot, and it makes you better, and you get like the sour taste in your mouth that you don't want again, and it does make, yeah, excited for everything else to come, and like all the things you can get better at. And Detman's, like, we would not have done as well without you. That's always like a given, but
oh yeah, well, thanks, we love it.
I love telling people what to do rather than
I've switched.
You can take out all of your deflatedness on individual quarterfinals, right? You just take it out and smash it.
Yes, I will do my best.
McKenna, you're up now.
So just a reflection, basically. Mm-hmm. So very much like coming from a team background, it's been about like 2 years since I've been on a like literal team where it feels like a real team. Mm-hmm. And I definitely have always been like a team player. Like, I will go harder because I don't want to let the person to my left and my right down. And I think that that kind of like re-sparked that in me, because I forgot what that was like. And I forgot what it was like to not want to let somebody beside me down. Mm-hmm. And that makes me want to just like run through a wall, to be honest, because that's just super, like, it just, it gives more purpose. And it's just like CrossFit and like you said, community, because that's really what it's all about. And like having friends that can support you and like push you. And like, I just think it's just so like, what a blessing to have a community and like a family, and like moving far from my family and having this family, and then having people that literally push you every day, and like they're all your best friends. Like, I just like feel super, super blessed. And I'm just like really excited to like just get better and like fill up those holes.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Hayden, you got any words for us?
Parting thoughts. Well, it was a great season. It was great 2 weeks, I guess 5 weeks if we include the open with the Blue City people. Wasn't plan A, but mm-hmm. it was a pretty good plan B. So I was happy to be a part of everything and give it a run to try to make it to semifinals.
I think we should probably comment on that a little further because, and we've, I think, mentioned this on a podcast before, but Hayden was supposed to be on a super team that would have challenged for the top spot at the games, and it fell apart like the week of the open. And, you know, again, don't mean this rudely, but our athletes are just not to the level of the super team athletes. And he, you know, decided to make that selfless decision and give them the best opportunity to potentially make it to semifinals, and himself too, obviously. And I think that was really cool. And I think having you, you know, seeing you train so hard that you did every day this year and not get to show it off with the super team, but being able to show off a little bit in front of everyone in team quarters, I think the gym really enjoyed that. So it was cool.
Yeah, I think it would have been easily an understandable decision to kind of be pouty about it and not, you know, be like, I'm done with it. So I think it's a cool show of character.
Yeah. James, I think you deserve some final thoughts on here too.
Yeah, man.
As the first alternate man.
No, I had a great time. It's cool because, I don't know, I'm just pumped. I feel like this is like the coolest thing in my life. Like, Blue City. But yeah, and then like, I don't know, it's pretty cool that like Hayden's been here for a while, and like even like the group, like us, Izzy, Justin, like I feel like we've been coming pretty close too, which is pretty dope. And yeah, it's been fun.
I think every time you're on a team with someone, and even probably like for you and Izzy as alternates, you form these special bonds that like you just can't explain them. And I, from team in 2021, even, you know, team in 2020 when I was with Mayhem, you form these bonds competing together and like going through the trenches and training together. And it's a really cool experience that not a lot of people get. And especially as adults, we don't necessarily get, you know, you get that in organized sports as kids and things like that. But being able to continue that, you know, into later years of, you know, 20s, 30s, 40s, it's, I think it's a really cool experience, and something that we shouldn't take for granted.
Spot on with that. McKenna alluded to it earlier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, this concludes our team quarterfinals episode. We didn't really talk about anyone else, but I think we're the most important to talk about today. So
yep. We'll be back before or during individual quarterfinals.
Yep.
Peace.
Bye.